Today's scripture is Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 through 11. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
According to those who do the research, there are as many as 12 major world religions. 12. Now that is not to mention atheism or agnosticism or skepticism, which those are religions in and of themselves, but that's for a different conversation. I'm talking about world religions that have a belief in a god or a deity. And each of these religions have within their communities, their walls, hundreds of religious sects. Even within those 12. For example, it is not enough to say you are a Christian. You have to distinguish between whether you're Protestant or Catholic. But then if you say Protestant, then you have to distinguish between what type of Protestant you are. Are you Baptist or Presbyterian or Methodist or Pentecostal and so on and so on and so on. But then that is not enough, because then if you're Baptist, you have to distinguish what type of Baptist you are. And there is just a myriad of Baptists. And so we understand, beloved, that this is not just true of Christianity. This is true of all the major religions. This is true of Islam. If you are Muslim, you have to distinguish what strand of Islam you're going to follow. And then that breaks down, and that breaks down. Same thing in Judaism. Same thing in Hinduism. And so what ends up happening, beloved, is that there are literally thousands upon thousands of religious expressions in the world. And each one claiming to have the formula. Each one claiming to have the formula for worship and relationship with God. In fact, I would submit to you this morning that this is the goal. This is really the goal of religion. The goal of religion is to show people how to get right with God. This is the point. Religion is developed and given so that you and I can have confidence. So that people could be assured that they are good with God. And so religious systems are developed and they are given to people so that people would have the confidence that God is okay with them. And so you see this in every religion. All of these thousands upon thousands of expressions They all have their standards. They all have their rituals. They all have their codes of conduct. They all have their rules that help to facilitate this confidence. It's in every religion. In every religion. Judaism and Islam have their law keeping and their prayers and all their rituals. You see it in the Mormons. You see it in Jehovah's Witnesses. You see it in the Black Hebrew Israelites. And all the rules that they have and all the regulations that they have. You see it in the Seventh-day Adventists. You see it in Pentecostals. You see it in Evangelicals. You see it all the way across the board. There are rules and regulations. There are forms and formulas. In each, whatever religious distinction you find, there are forms and formulas that are designed to give people confidence. Confidence that you're on the right path and you're doing the right thing. And you're okay with God. It's what it's all about. Confidence, because confidence is important. Whatever religion people are following, they're doing so because they want the confidence that it is well with their souls. They want to be confident and assured that God is good with them. What is confidence? What is confidence? Confidence is the feeling and comfort that comes from knowing you can rely on something or someone. It is the feeling of trust, security, hope. It is faith. It is faith. And we know about it. We know about it. There are certain things in our lives, in our worlds, that we give utmost confidence to. For example, the airlines. The airlines. We have put our ultimate confidence in Delta. That is, if you can find a decent price these days. Southwest. American, United. Most days, you get on a plane and you take your seat. And not only do you not speak to the pilot, you probably don't even see him or her. But you confidently take your seat with the confidence that that plane and trust that that plane is going to take off, that that plane is going to stay in the air, and that plane is going to land safely at your destination, safe and sound. Somehow, some way, the airlines have convinced us that we can be confident in them and trust them with our lives. That's confidence. The time you step on that plane. Well, beloved, I want to suggest to you this morning that confidence in airlines is one thing. But confidence in religion is different altogether. Because when it comes to religion, confidence is deceiving. Confidence is dangerous because confidence can be destructive. In religion, with all its forms and formulas, we all have the tendency to put confidence in the flesh. Now, beloved, listen to me, because this is very important. This confidence is what is most found most time in the world and in religion. It is confidence in the flesh. Confidence in the flesh. And this is what Paul warns against this morning. He warns against the religion that deceives us into putting confidence in the flesh, thinking that we're placing confidence in God. And Paul says, no, 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 in verse 3, listen, we are those who put no confidence in the flesh. Now listen, what is flesh in this sense? What Paul means by flesh here and in our text is human ability. What he means is human ingenuity. Human strength, human strategies, human character, human achievements, human ceremonies, willpower, heredity, human help. And we all have the tendency, therefore, to look at those things and put our confidence and hope and security in those things, to put our hope and confidence and faith and security in the flesh. We are all tempted to it, beloved. We are all tempted to it. Why? Because it is what we naturally do. It is the way of religion in our world. It is deceitful. Because even when we think we are not, we often are. Even when we believe we are not, we often do. Because confidence in the flesh is what most religion and most of our religious activities promote. It's what it promotes. When we talk about religion, this is what we talk about. We talk about those things that put confidence in the flesh. And for the Jews, it was circumcision. It was their Jewish heritage. It was their holy days. It was their washings. It was their Sabbaths. It was the foods that they ate and didn't eat. It was them following and keeping the commandments. Whenever you talked about Jewish religion, that's what you talked about. It wasn't just them. The same thing happens to us. When we talk about Christianity, we talk about our faith. What do we talk about? Tithing. I go to church every Sunday. I pray every day. I'm doing my Bible studies. I'm keeping my devotionals. I got my children in Sunday school. I've been baptized. Now listen, beloved, listen to me. These things are good. We're not announcing those things. These things are good, but they are deceiving because they can give you a false assurance that you are righteous, that you are right with God. They can give you the false confidence that you are in right relationship with God. The temptation is to believe that you are right with God. That is, that you are righteous because of what you do. You go to church, you tithe, you keep the commandments, you share your faith. Because you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't chew, and neither of your children do. But Why did I say that this message is one of most importance? It is because this message reminds us, beloved, as so many does in the scriptures, that being righteous and being right with God is not about rituals. It's not about rules. It's not about laws. It's not about commandments. Being righteous is not about where you go to church. You can go to East Point Church. You can go to 2819. You can go to Westside. You can go down to Ebenezer. You can go to First Baptist of Atlanta. Being righteous and being right with God has nothing to do with where you go to church. Being righteous and right with God has nothing to do with who you listen to on your podcast. You can listen to Tony Evans or Tony Carter. It don't matter. You can listen to Joseph Prince or Joel Osteen. You can listen to Beth Moore and Joyce Myers. What difference does it make? Because who you listen to on your podcast does not make you right with God. Righteousness is not found in where you go. Righteousness is not found in who you listen to. The only way, beloved, to be right with God is not about law or law keeping. It is not about rule or regulations. It is not according to anything in your flesh. There is only one way to be right with God. And there are thousands upon thousands of religious expressions in the world, but there is only one way to be right with God. And that is by faith in Christ and Christ alone. Only one. No matter how confident religion might make people feel, it is deceptive. It's dangerous. Because it causes us to put confidence in the flesh. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, don't miss it, beloved. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, the best the flesh has to offer amounts to nothing in the kingdom of God. Nothing, nothing. Paul said the best that religion has to offer, the best religion has to offer is pedigree and performance. It's the best they can offer. Give you confidence in your pedigree or give you confidence in your performance. And what does he say? He says righteousness is not by pedigree. The temptation is to believe or to act like we are safe because of who we are and where we come from. Our families, our ethnicities, our race, our color, our nationality. So much of our lives, beloved, this is the temptation in the world. This is the temptation in our lives. This is the temptation in our faith. Because so much of our lives, beloved, is governed by race and ethnicity. We are tempted to think that the kingdom of God is too. And this was not just true today, beloved. This has always been true. It's always been true. And if anyone had reason to trust or take confidence in their heritage, in their ethnicity, it was the Apostle Paul. And what does he say in chapter 3 and verse 4? He says, anybody want to boast? Anybody want to take confidence in the fleshly things of religion? Then I would have been one, for I was a Jew of all Jews, circumcised on the eighth day, according to the law of Moses. I got it like Moses said, get it. When I was a boy growing up in our little churches in the country, there was this one preacher that all the time he would say, if you didn't get baptized like Jesus got baptized, you didn't get baptized. He said, if you didn't get it like Jesus, you didn't get it. You know what Paul is saying here? Paul says from Luke chapter 2 and 21, I got it like Jesus did. Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. I got it like Jesus did. But not only was I circumcised on the eighth day, but my parents, they were Jew of Jews. Jew of Jews. There is no mud in my blood. None. None. Some people are mixed heritages, and some of y'all don't know your backgrounds, but Google me. Google me and you'll find that I belong to the tribe of Benjamin. The favored son of Jacob. The only son born in the Holy Land. The tribe that gave us our first king. Paul says, listen, if anyone had reason to take confidence in religion and the flesh, it was me, because, beloved, I was Jew of Jews. And beloved, Paul says clearly that righteousness is not a right you're born into. Righteousness is not a right that you're born into. Contrary to what the world does, contrary to what the world often says, contrary to what the flesh might promise, there is no extra credit in the kingdom for being white. You don't get brownie points for being black. Sorry. There are no special privileges for being Hispanic. If ethnicity would get you anything, Paul said it would have gotten him everything. But in the kingdom of God, he said it amounted to nothing. Mama made me go to Sunday school. I was there every Sunday. Grandma made sure I was at prayer meeting. Papa was a pastor and grandfather the chairman of the deacon board. And all that is nothing but putting confidence in the flesh. Because righteousness is not by pedigree. But not only is it not by pedigree, Paul says that righteousness is not by performance either. Now, this is tricky for Americans. This is tricky for Christians. This is really tricky because in America, however or wherever you are born, you are told over and over again, you can be anything you want to be. Through hard work and persistence, you can achieve the American dream. Well, beloved, nothing is further from the truth in the kingdom of God. Through hard work, you may climb the corporate ladder, but through hard work, you will not climb your way to heaven. No, beloved, no. Paul said, if anyone could have worked themselves into the kingdom, it would have been me. It would have been me. Notice what he says. In learning the law, I was a Pharisee, a theologian, a scholar of scholars. No one outstudied me. No one understood more than I understood. No one took to heart. No one labored over the law like I did. I wrote the books. I spoke at all the conferences. I had the most popular podcast. If any of that would have gained me the kingdom of God, I would have gone in first rate. In learning the law, I was a Pharisee. Notice what he says too. In zeal for the law, I tracked down and persecuted the church. Beloved, Acts 9 and verse 1 reminds us that the early church feared Paul. Hey, feared Paul. They feared his zeal. They feared his passion. They feared his conviction. They feared his confidence. Because he was so sincere. He believed that what he was doing for and in the name of God. He hunted down the blasphemers. He stood out in the streets and debated any and all who came, and he won all the debates. He marched and protested against all the unrighteousness that he saw. There was no doubting his sincerity. And Paul says that I was sincere, but I was sincerely wrong. Because righteousness, beloved, is not by sincerity. You can sincerely seek to keep all the commandments. You can sincerely pray all the prayers. You can sincerely attend all the meetings. You can sincerely share all that you have. You can do all these things as sincere as possible and realize that righteousness is not by sincerity. Notice what he says. In learning the law, a Pharisee. In zeal for the law, a persecutor. And in keeping the law, blameless. Blameless. Paul says, I kept the law to the letter. Never, never, never missed a sacrifice. Never, never skipped a prayer. If there was a rule and there was a regulation, I kept it. I never received any demerits. I never was late to class. I never drove over the speed limit, not even for a moment. I never took a single grape from the grocery. Oh, you do that too. Never took a single grape from the grocery. Never, never called in sick. If there was a law or a rule that could make you right with God, Paul said, I would have done it. Did you hear that? If there was a rule, if there was a law that could make you right with God, Paul said, I would have done it. But this is what we do, beloved. This is what we do. We are all tempted to take confidence in what we do or don't do. This is a temptation that befalls all of us. Our faith. Our faith often fluctuates. Why does your faith fluctuate? It fluctuates because you either get excited or disappointed in your own faithfulness. Our joy rises and our joy falls based on what? Our own spiritual successes and our own spiritual failures. Because, beloved, the temptation to put the confidence in the flesh is real. And we do it. But the Spirit of God would want to remind us this morning that it is not our faithfulness that determines our rightness with God. For even when we are faithless, the Bible says, He remains faithful. It is not what you eat or don't eat. It is not what you wear or don't wear. It is not where you go or don't go. It is not what you watch or don't watch. If you are righteous this morning, if you are right with God, it is not because of what you do or what you have done. Righteousness is not in my pedigree, my parents, my ethnicity, my language, or my tribe. Righteousness is not in my performance and my ability to live right, to keep the commandments, my church going, my Bible knowledge, or my ability to preach, or my ability to pray. Righteousness is not in performance. Righteousness is not in pedigree. Righteousness is in a person. It is in a person. And that person is the person of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. That's what Paul is saying. That's the point he is making. The Christian is the one who has placed his or her confidence, trust, faith in Christ and in Christ alone. And therefore, beloved, in Christ alone is not just a song we sing. My hope is built on nothing less. It's not just a hymn to be hummed, but it is the warp and the woof. It is the kit and caboodle of Christianity. You and I are not saved because you get right. You are saved because you get Jesus. So Paul says, verse 9, chapter 3. The righteousness we need, that's what he says. The righteousness we need does not come by keeping the law, but it comes by faith in Jesus Christ. This righteousness, beloved, does not come from me. It comes from God. It comes from God. The righteousness that God requires is the righteousness that God provides. Listen, beloved. It takes perfection to get into heaven. Don't be fooled. It takes perfection to get into heaven. It takes perfect obedience to stand in the presence of God. You want to be right with God? You have to be right in every way. See, I think that's what people miss. You don't just have to be right. You have to be right in everything. You have to be right in every way. And therefore, the question this morning, who is right in every way? Who has been right from day one? Let the one who has been completely right from the moment he or she took her first breath stand up. Let the one who has lived perfectly in obedience to God's word and God's will raise your hand this morning. Who is worthy? Who is worthy of heaven? Who is right and righteous? That's not just the question I asked this morning, beloved. That's the question that they raised in heaven. In Revelation chapter 5, when John says he saw heaven, in verse 2 he says, and this is the question that was raised in heaven. John tells us, and I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy? Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? And notice what it says. But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. And John said, when I saw that no one was worthy, that no one was righteous, I wept and I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and look inside. And then the Bible says, one of the elders said to me, John, don't you weep. See the lion of the tribe of Judah. See the root of David. He has triumphed. He is worthy. He is able to open the scroll and to break the seals. He is worthy. Beloved, you in the scripture memorization? Here's a scripture for you to memorize. If you don't know it already, put it at the top of your list. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. But now, God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. God has shown us a way of righteousness that doesn't require you to keep the rules and the regulations. And it was a righteousness that was always promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. For we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. There is a righteousness that has been revealed apart from the law. And it is a righteousness from God that comes only by faith in Christ. And Christ alone. And Christ alone. And Christ alone. This is the point that the Bible makes over and over again. Paul makes this point over and over again. Galatians makes it over and over again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. The Apostle Paul writes to them, God has united us with Christ. God has placed us in Christ. For our benefit, God made him, Christ, to be our wisdom. Why? Because Christ has made us right with God. There is no other way. There is no other way to be right with God but to be in Christ by faith and faith alone. That's why your faith need not fluctuate. That's why your joy need not rise and fall. Because it's not on you. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. This is why, beloved, we preach Jesus. This is why we preach Jesus Christ. This is why we don't preach political agendas. Why? Because your political opinion isn't going to get you right with God. This is why we preach Christ and we don't preach cultural preferences. Why? Because your cultural preference won't get you right with God. This is why we preach Christ and we don't proclaim ourselves. Why? Because you can't get yourself right with God. We preach Christ and Christ alone. Because in Christ alone, our hope is found. He is my light, my strength, and my song. Because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. He's my righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. And on Jesus' name alone. As someone has rightly said, there are thousands and thousands upon ways to fall down. There's only one way to stand up. Are you standing in Christ this morning? May your hope and your confidence be in nothing else but Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Let's pray.